This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I can't tell you I always win, but I do feel like I'm dealing from a position of strength, sitting here in my new chair. It's so funny how many of you saw the photos of the new chair and me exulting in the new chair here in studio and thought it must be a new chair just for me. Well, au contraire, it's not. In fact, they've already tried to take it away and put it somewhere else, and I had to go retrieve it. After I found it, I had to go find it again. Someone had moved it out of the studio. No. We don't get our own nice things here at the Infinity Sports Network. We share. It's community chairs, which is why so many of them end up broken after, say, 3 weeks. But this one is, it's great, which is why I feel like now I'm dealing from a position of strength. Also, it is week 12, Sunday night into Monday, NFL. And yeah, this is right in our wheelhouse. This is what we've been doing now for 10 years on Sunday nights. Can you believe that? By the time we get to the end of this calendar year, I don't know what weekend that is. Week 16 in the NFL, maybe. Week 17, who knows? I just know that it's nearly the end of the regular season. That will be 10 years of hosting these Sunday night shows in which we give you the all-out blitz. Usually every single game. Sometimes, I'll admit, we miss on one or two because we've got a big topic or a major storyline that takes over. But on this Sunday night, it's actually relatively easy to get to all of them because there were six teams on bye. It's always nice. You can actually tell the difference when there are three games that are not being played on Sundays because it makes it a little easier to manage the notes, a little easier to keep all the details straight. Love to connect with you online at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yes, 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 there's a bit of a surprise there if you want to check out the recent photo that was posted not quite 24 hours ago, but we'll go with 18 hours ago. A lot of you have been asking me whether or not we brought home the new puppy. Well, puppy. I wouldn't say puppy, but definitely not a full-grown dog. Although you wouldn't know by her size, she is a mammoth. I don't have time to talk about it tonight, but I promise I'll give you some details on our next show. But there is a photo, so at least you have photographic evidence of not one dog, but two. Now, we are still in a foster period. it's only been, you know, a day and a half. And so we are trying to make sure it's the right fit for our home because she is big. And we think she might be crossed with a lab, too, because she is all about chewing things, slippers, toys, everything that she can get her teeth onto. She also must have been a couch surfer in a previous life because, boy, does she like the couch. And also, when she was trying to get away from my husband on Sunday evening, her way of getting away from him, because she didn't really want to go in her crate to sleep, her way of getting away from him was taking a flying leap past him and landing on me in the bed. Because I was...
Great agility.
Right? I was making the bed and I was getting my stuff together for work and she just takes a flying leap and smash right onto me on the bed. Anyway, she's a big dog.
Welcome home.
She's a big dog and she slobbers, but boy, is she sweet. Anyway, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Try not to get too excited, but we have to go through this couple weeks of fostering first. She's got so much personality. That's the kind of dog I need, a dog with all kinds of personality. Goodness. Now we'd had three pets in our house with personality. But wait till I tell you about some of the standoffs between the cat and the dog. The cat is maybe 7 pounds right now. She's older. She's lost a bunch of weight. The vets think she might have something going on with her liver. But she's older. She's a cat. She does not back down. That cat stands there. This is my house, and I was here first, and you all can take a flying leap. And so she doesn't back down. She doesn't walk away or run or hide, even though this dog outweighs her by, let's say, 75 pounds. So some fun stories already. Actually, the little dog, too, is having to stand her ground because sometimes these bigger, goofier dogs, they play rough. They play, but, you know, it's hard if it's a smaller animal. So we'll have plenty of stories between now and Thanksgiving, I promise. Want to get back to some football, though. 855-212-4227. Again, online at A-Law Radio and on our Facebook page as well, named after the show. We just talked about the Niners and the Rams falling to 5-6 inside the NFC West. Well, why don't we check on the game that featured two teams in that division against one another in Seattle. Now, the Cardinals were there. Kyler Murray's been mentioned as a dark horse candidate for not Monday MVP, but NFL MVP. And Arizona riding a 4-game win streak. But what we saw from that Mike McDonald defense was really impressive. Kyler Murray held without a touchdown. He had an interception. He was sacked 5 times. In fact, in this game, there were only 2 touchdowns. Both of them for the Seattle Seahawks.
Slot to the right side. Geno out of the shotgun. Again with Charbonnet in the backfield. Geno looks to throw. Throws outside. Ball is caught. Touchdown! Seahawks! Jackson Smith and Jigba. Johnny on the spot. On coverage was Buda Baker. No match that time on the quick out. The 4th touchdown of the season for JSN couldn't come at a better time. 6-3, Seahawks now lead. Arizona went hurry up. They're doing the same thing now. Right back to the line of scrimmage on 4th-and-1 at the 40. Murray under center this time. Play fake. Murray's going to try to get it. He's going to run far side. He's going to dump it over the top. Intercepted. Kobe Bryant. Far sideline. He's got some blockers. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. Seahawks.
See Rabel with the calls on the Seahawks radio network. Yeah, late first half, Geno finds Jackson Smith in Jigba, and then Kobe Bryant, not spelled the same way, Kobe, K-O-B-E, he's the famous one, the one that's not so famous but had a huge play on Sunday, C-O-B-Y. Kobe Bryant with a 69-yard pick 6 for a score. Neither team got over 300 yards, so this was really a slugfest, if you will. Credit Leonard Williams. He had a massive game. 2.5 sacks, 6 tackles. He was all up in Kyler's grill all the time. So, yeah, this was not a great day for the Arizona Cardinals, really, on either side of the ball, but specifically offense.
Frustrating day offensively, especially the way we've been playing to come out here and kind of lay an egg and just kind of really get physically dominated in a sense. Like I said, credit to them.
Yeah, when he talks about being physically dominated, he's talking about the line of scrimmage. They tried to run the ball. And remember, they weren't behind by a lot. That Kobe Bryant pick six gave them the double figure lead. But for the most part, it was a one score game all the way through. They only ran for 49 yards on 14 rushes. And so the offensive line really had a rough day. The run game really had a rough day.
Part of it was that we couldn't get the run game going, and that falls on all of us, and that makes it hard when you're in obvious passing downs pretty often. I feel like we're behind the sticks a lot, so it just comes down to all of us. I have to execute a little bit better on first and second down.
Jonah Williams from that offensive line taking accountability for the fact that they really struggled in the trenches. As for Mike McDonald, loves what he saw from his defense. Remember, that's his background. That's what he really hopes to make a hallmark of the Seahawks team as he comes in after Pete Carroll and has to pretty much change everything.
The credit goes to our coaches and our players and everyone in the building of just like understanding of what we're trying to build, and just when it's not that way, then you just hammer away and just go to work and work on our processes and try to figure out schematically what we're good at, putting our guys in better situations. So it's just kind of everybody working together all the time, staying together, trusting the process. 3 games in a row now, we played pretty decent on defense. You know, there's an expectation here and a standard throughout the course of, you know, our Seahawks history that we're trying to live up to and build on. So that's the idea.
Yeah, that was a big win. You know, I thought it felt like a playoff atmosphere, man. I thought the crowd was amazing. Just felt like our team was locked in and focused the entire game. Hard-fought game. I thought Arizona played really tough. You know, just overall, our defense was outstanding, man. Leonard wrecking the game. The way Spoon was flying around. Kobe, you know, getting a pick six, man, that was awesome. Really lit up the crowd. And then I thought, you know, we were efficient, you know, for the most part on offense. Obviously had some mistakes that we need to clean up. But overall, whenever you win the game, it's always a good thing.
Seattle moves into first place in the NFC West by limiting Kyler, by playing that terrific defense. You hear Geno Smith there highlighting some of the guys on the other side of the ball. And because they've got the tie break now over the Cardinals, they'll play again, of course. They're sitting both at 6-5 with the Rams and the Niners right behind at 5-6. So anything is still possible in this division. It's a division that's marked by a lot of mediocrity, but there's still time. A third of the season-ish to go. And so can they either one of these teams break out and put together another win streak like the Cardinals, find some momentum? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. While we're talking West and wild, wild, wacky West, let's look at the AFC, where the Chiefs did win, but it has to come down to the final drive of the game, does it not? Because they are incapable of blowing teams out. So the Chiefs did win again. The Chargers play Monday night, and that's the game that you all have chosen as the game of the week. The Ravens and the Chargers, both 7-win teams, comes up on Monday night. So this time tomorrow, we'll be talking about that game. But sitting at 7 wins, they've won 4 games in a row. And what about the Broncos? Could they keep pace as they match up with the hated rival Raiders on Sunday afternoon? And actually, Las Vegas held a 13-9 edge in this one. When they got to halftime, they had scored points on 3 possessions in a row. Now, this is with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, and, you know, they're trying to, at this point, snap a long losing skid that's reached a half dozen. The issue with the Raiders in the first half is they were just 1-for-5 in the red zone, or they were not capitalizing on their red zone opportunities. They finished 1-for-5 in the red zone. But you did have a really sweet moment for Gardner Minshew and one of his receivers.
They got to punch this in the end zone.
Absolutely.
Last week, the red zone in the first half, they settled for 2 field goals. Trey Tucker split out left. Myers to the right. Brock Bowers, if that's where you're looking, he's to the left side too. First and goal at the 6. Here come the Broncos with the blitz. Minshew escapes the pocket. Out to the right, looking for Abdullah over the shoulder. Touchdown, Raiders! What a catch! Amir Abdullah on the right corner of the end zone. Snatched that on his right shoulder. What a grab! Raiders have the lead. 84 seconds into the second.
I'll give you behind-the-scenes tips that I use here is as I'm listening to a guy do play-by-play, in this case, it's, who is that that does, shoot, I forgot, who's the Raiders play-by-play
voice? Jason Horowitz.
That's right, Jason Horowitz. He used to be with Westwood One, which is why we know his voice. As I'm listening to a play-by-play announcer describe a call, I like to quick find it on Twix so that I can watch it as it's unfolding. And yeah, if not for the fact that the Raiders were woeful the rest of the game on offense, this would likely be a TD of the week candidate, because as Minshew was rolling out to his right and then throwing off one foot, the ball zings by the ear of the Broncos defender and is caught kind of one-handed initially against, well, there's two hands up there, but like catches it with two hands and blocks it against his right shoulder. But the ball was placed so perfectly. That was the highlight, and it was really all downhill from there. So he catches that touchdown from Gardner Minshew. Meanwhile, Denver is settling for field goals, but the turning point comes early in the third quarter. There's a pick off Minshew by Brandon Jones. He returns at 37 yards, which sets up Bo Nix and the Broncos.
Second down and 10, Broncos football on the Raider 18. Nix takes a shotgun snap, throws a fade route right side. He's got Sutton there. Cortland goes up, makes the catch. Touchdown, Denver. Right over the top of Jack Jones. Cortland Sutton with his fourth receiving touchdown of the season. First and goal, Denver at the 2. Javonte to the left of Nix in the shotgun. Tight trips right. Sutton is tight left. They bring Mims in motion. Nix, design roll to the right, throws back in the end zone. Pass caught. Cortland Sutton, touchdown Denver.
Dave Logan on Broncos radio. So yeah, that interception that Gardner Minshew threw really set up the Broncos offense and sparked them. So Nix goes to Sutton for the points off turnovers. And then three possessions later, it's his second touchdown to Sutton for that 10-point lead. Cortland ends up with nearly 100 yards receiving on 8 catches. Nix was terrific, and people continue to rave about how he's processing, how he looks, the poise, the fact that he's throwing accurately. He's not trying to do too much, which is always a temptation for young quarterbacks who are wanting to establish themselves and prove themselves. He has 273 yards and sets a new rookie record for Denver with the 16 touchdown passes in his first season. Now, here's how you break it down, though. Do you know in his first 3 weeks as the starter for the Broncos, he had no passing touchdowns, as in the big goose egg? So in the last 5 games, he's had 11 touchdowns and a pick. And just thinking about the course of the season, how slow the offense started, and then steadily he grasped it, and Sean Payton and his staff are working with him, and he's now looking more comfortable and more confident, more in command of the offense. And so there are people who are pointing to him, even as the Commanders have taken a downturn, as potentially catching, maybe even passing Jaden Daniels as the offensive rookie of the year. Now, late in the fourth quarter, here's where things turn again for the Raiders. Minshew gets sacked. It was the third time. He lands on his left shoulder immediately in a ton of pain. Turns out he has a broken collarbone. He's out for the season. But can we be honest about this? It's been a miserable run for Minshew. In fact, I would say a good portion of the season has been Minshew miserable. He was already benched earlier in the year because of turnovers, but then Aiden O'Connell ends up with a broken thumb, and so he's back on the field. Desmond Ridder, they brought in. Remember, he was kind of going to be a stopgap, but then Aiden O'Connell got hurt and he was shoved into duty. It was tough for him too. He fumbled in the final couple minutes of the fourth quarter and the Broncos recover. But yeah, this is another major crossroads for Pierce. I don't know how long Antonio Pierce has as the head coach for the Raiders, but he did say after the game, O'Connell threw at practice this week and they've got to figure out what they're doing at that position.
We'll see what happens tomorrow, but obviously it looks like he's getting better. He threw a little bit in practice this week. Obviously, we got a short week, play on Friday, travel on Thursday, so we have to make that decision very quickly.
7 consecutive losses for the Raiders, who are sitting at 2-9. Hold that thought for a second. Meanwhile, the Broncos are 7-5, and I'm not joking about this. I swear I wouldn't jerk your chain this way. If the playoffs started today, they don't. If the playoffs started today in the AFC, the Broncos would be a wild card team. They've not made the playoffs since Super Bowl 50, since Peyton Manning retired. And here we are heading into Super Bowl 59, and they've had a long drought that has made fans antsy and itchy. They've gone through coaches and quarterbacks. They've pretty much traded away almost or allowed to walk almost every great player they have, like they're the Pittsburgh Pirates or something. Really, the only two left that have any kind of veteran tenure are Cortland Sutton and Pat Surtain. That's it. And I mean, neither one of those guys have been around that long, but there's not a whole lot that's left there. Sean Payton has kind of remade this team, but I thought it was interesting what he said about how far they've come in a year.
I said to him today, you know, our team a year ago didn't win this game, but this team did, and you built some grit. We won the turnover battle again. You know, we were the better team today, and we didn't always play like it, but we'll get those things cleaned up.
We were moving the ball. We just had to get field goals. So it wasn't anything that we needed to change besides, you know, getting in the fringe red zone area and converting a little bit more. Our defense played, you know, really well again from start to finish. They were put, you know, on the field a lot at the end of the game. Had to make some, you know, key stops, and they did. And so it was a complete team win. Very resilient from our guys. But you just never lost that, you know, edge. We never lost the faith on the sideline and always kind of, you know, figured we were going to find a way to win, and that's just what marks a good team.
Bo Nix, after a slow start, Broncos able to recover, and Sean Payton says, if this is a year ago, we don't win this game. Now, here's what I wanted you to think about with Antonio Pierce and the Raiders being 2-9. We kind of had the revenge of the Walking Dead on Sunday in that there were several teams that pulled upsets. Upsets based on record, upsets based on betting lines, whatever it is. They were upsets. So now you've got a bunch of teams who picked up their third win. So think about the Browns. They won their last game. So they moved from 2 wins to 3. Then you had the Tennessee Titans, and we'll get to the Titans and the Texans coming up on this show. They're now sitting at 3 wins. You also had in the NFC East, the Cowboys pick up a win, right? So they're at 4 wins. The Chicago Bears, they've lost 5 in a row, but they're at 4 wins. The Panthers, they had won back-to-back games before losing to the Chiefs this weekend. And so they're sitting on 3 wins. So yeah, if you look at it now, there were about 6 or 7 teams that had 2 wins not that long ago. Now there are just 3 of them. And why do you care? Well, because the team with the fewest number of wins or the worst record, sometimes there are tie breaks that factor in. That's the team that gets the number one overall pick. And who is expected to be the number one overall pick? We'll see what family dynamics have to say about it and how they play in. But Shedeur Sanders, the quarterback, is expected to be by far the best prize at that position in this upcoming draft. So if you're the Giants and you've moved past Daniel Jones, you're sitting at 2-9. The Raiders are sitting at 2-9 and desperately need a quarterback. And the Jaguars are sitting at 2-9, but unlikely to draft a quarterback. So that and the Raiders would tell you they're not tanking. Our friend Hondo Carpenter, who covers this team extensively for Sports Illustrated, he says absolutely they're not tanking. I don't think Antonio Pierce wants to lose his job, but it kind of feels like that's where they're headed. So all of that to say, the group that's at least in the front runner is a weird way to say it because it's the number one overall pick. The group that right now is leading the pack. Trailing the pack? I don't know how to say it. The group that right now is in line, there we go, for the overall number one pick has...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Arrow to three teams, and two of them need QBs. The other one does not. So kind of interesting to keep your eyes on that storyline developing as well. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. How about we get to Detroit and Indianapolis next? By the way, the Indiana in the college version lost to Ohio State this weekend and will likely drop in the college football playoff standings, even though the Hoosiers had a lead over the Buckeyes initially. So we'll talk about Lions and Colts as Detroit is the hottest team on the planet. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Glad to have you with us this After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Lions go with their two tight end set. Brock Wright, Zane Zylstra, Shane Zylstra both in there. Goff now on first and goal, works out of the gun. Jared takes, hands it. Gibbs, left side, touchdown. Cuts it up to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Patient running by Gibbs that time. Couple of Colts defenders out there waited for his blocking. Got it. Found the house. Second and goal from the six for the Lions. Goff out of the gun. Montgomery to his right. Jared looking out over that defense. Now he leans in. There's the snap. Hands to Montgomery. Bounces left. Yep. Finds the angle. Spinning. End zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, baby. What a run by David Montgomery that time.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you have not seen the next level spin move by David Montgomery, it wasn't your vertical plane spin move. It was actually vertical and then it was horizontal. So he starts out on one foot. So he's kind of up in the air, like standing upright. And then as he spins, he kind of flattens himself out on the back and goes over the top of a defender into the end zone. So it was next level. Though David Montgomery did leave this game between the Lions and the Colts with a shoulder injury, I saw good news afterwards. Montgomery himself indicated in the locker room that he would be good to go next week, though he did not return to the game after the third quarter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I think Dan Miller has a cold. Dan Miller with the call on Lions radio. And yes, a pair of rushing touchdowns in the first half. Stop me if you've heard this before about the Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs, nearly 100 yards, a couple of touchdowns for him. And then Montgomery, I'm thinking it's a TD of the week candidate with that spin move. The team well over 130 yards rushing yet again behind that tank of an offensive line.
We got two bell cows, and it's rare. You know, we do. We have two guys that you can hand the ball to a ton, and like you said, one of them goes down there for a little bit, another guy steps up, and it'll happen, you know, both ways throughout the year. So we're lucky to have both of them, and they do a hell of a job.
That was good. We came and did what we had to do. I thought that team fought. We knew they would. You know, I think Shane and does a great job. I think Gus always has done a great job. Those defenses play hard. They're physical, and they didn't. They never batted an eye. They were in it till the end.
Dan Campbell happy about his defense in this one because that D pitches a shutout in the second half against the Colts, keeps Indy out of the end zone altogether. Now hear this, Lions fans or NFC North fans or maybe some of you bandwagon jumpers who don't have a team to root for, but you love the Lions story. Best 11-game record since the Lions' inaugural season in 1934. I'm sure we all remember that. You know, when there were TVs and all, black and white game broadcasts. Best 11-game record since the inaugural season for the Lions and 25 straight games, including playoffs, with at least one touchdown run. Control the ball, run the ball, control the ball, control the game, and the Lions are terrific at that. But when they need to throw, they can do that as well. It's just that they don't always need to. Colts, 0-4 in the red zone, very little room to run themselves. And Anthony Richardson is their leading rusher, which is not a recipe for success considering the injuries that he's had. I heard one, I think it was Mark Ross on NFL Network, who's a longtime scout, Super Bowl champion in the scouting department with the Giants going back a few years. And he was saying it's all or nothing with Richardson. And part of that is because there's raw potential and he can make these incredible throws, but he's not accurate enough and sometimes doesn't make smart decisions. Again, still developing as an NFL QB. The Colts want to see what they have. But the issue is that he's either amazing and makes a play that causes your mouth to drop open, or it's the complete opposite. And you think, what in the world? It can be wild swing. But it's not a good idea if your quarterback is their leading rusher. I say that all the time about the Buffalo Bills. I do not want even Josh Allen to be leading his team in rushing. As for Richardson, obviously, you're still trying to see what you have with him. And against a defense as good as the Lions, it can be a struggle. And they can't afford really any mistakes like penalties.
As a team, you know, it hurts us. Whenever you're out there playing a good team like that, you know, you can't beat yourself and try to beat the other team at the same time. So the penalties definitely hurt us, but that's just, you know, getting back to the drawing board and just understanding the minor details and the discipline between each and every play and just going to make it work.
10 penalties for 75 yards. Meanwhile, they go 3 for 12 on third down. So that's a big deal. Lions don't score the 52, but they do have their 9th win in a row. And it's a combo of both the offense and the defense. They can beat you a variety of ways. So they've got the same record as the Chiefs. We'll get to the Chiefs coming up. Harrison is waiting in Iowa. Welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hi, Amy. How are you this morning?
Good. Thank you.
I was going to say something about the Chiefs and Denver beating the Raiders. For how long has it been since we swept them? Since 14, I believe.
Yeah, it's been a long time. The Broncos have swept a season series in the AFC West for sure.
I've been a fan forever, and it, you know, like you said, them years since Super Bowl 50 had just been whatever.
Well, it's been a revolving door. I mean, that's the issue. Constant change equals constant losing, and that's what they've been doing.
And when you have something like that, you're not going to have any stability, right?
Right.
I don't believe. But I'd rather hear about the dog. I have a blue heeler here myself, and I'm semi-retired, and I tell you what, I feel like an old man. As long as I keep him active and everything and let him out when he needs to go out, we're fine. But when I have to take his sweater off, dude, you got to wash this thing. He loves to get on his back and do the old twirl thing and all that good stuff. And there was a one time 4 years ago when we had family members who had passed away. So we ended up with 3 cats here and 3 dogs.
Whoa.
A Shar-Pei, Beagle, and a Pomeranian, and then 3 cats. Well, who knows what they were.
How did they get along?
They all got along great.
That's amazing.
Actually,
That's amazing.
Because I told them, if you don't, you know where you're going.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. Real quick question, or two. David Montgomery, where was the college he went to?
What was the what? I'm sorry?
College. Where did he go to school at?
Oh, that's
David
a good,
Montgomery,
that's
running
a,
back.
That's a good question. I don't want so I have one that came to my mind, but then I don't want to say it until. Well, give me a second.
It was the UNI, right?
I'm
University
look.
Of Northern Iowa.
I'm look. No, he went to Iowa State. I was going to say. I knew it was in Iowa. Iowa State.
Okay. Good. I'm glad with that. Our Iowa State Cyclones are trying to make a little noise in the Big 12. And next question. Athlete turned actor. Do you have a favorite? And I'll listen to you off the air. Thank you, Amy. Enjoy the rest of your night.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Now, see, I feel like this would be politically incorrect, but isn't Mike Tyson hysterical when he appears in movies? And he's just himself, so I don't know if you can call him an actor. They're more cameos, but Mike Tyson seems to spice up the movies that he appears in. Maybe he should stick to acting and retire from actual boxing. Because that might, you have to do it in shorter bursts, right? You get on set, you throw a couple of right hooks, and then you're done for the day.
And you probably get paid more to do the movie than to get knocked out in a boxing match.
I don't know. I heard they made money hand over fist, actually, for that. Like, it set records on Netflix, which maybe isn't all that hard to do for any type of a sports broadcast. And we'll see how they do with the, it's Christmas Day, right? Christmas Day game on Netflix. So I don't know. I feel like they got a lot of attention, though, and they certainly had to wait through it because Tyson seems to peter out, and then Paul won by decision. I don't believe that it was staged, but if it was, that's how you keep people around, is because you don't actually know what's happened, right? So another one, and I don't know, I guess you could call him an actor, but more like for our generation, it's more broadcaster is Bob Uecker. Remember him, Mr. Belvedere?
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite characters in Mr. Belvedere before I ever knew that he was a broadcaster or an athlete. I had no idea. I just knew he was the dad of Mr. Belvedere. So when I was a kid, that was one of my favorite shows. Also, I'm a huge fan of The Rock. The Rock is, I mean, he may be a caricature of himself, but he is freaking awesome. And I love some of his crazy movies. Like, oh well, gosh, what's the one in the Bay Area where there's earthquakes and what is that? I love that. My brother and I love that movie. We see that movie all, like whenever it's on TV, we are always watching that movie. It essentially tears up the Bay Area. Hold on. I'm going to find it. You know, a few years old. It can't be that old.
Because I'm thinking, I haven't myself seen a movie with The Rock a long time. So
I mean, he's
in
the Fast and the Furious movies at the end of them, so he's part of those as well. Hold on. Oh yeah, San Andreas. It's almost out 10 years now. Yeah, San Andreas. It was awesome. If you like those kinds of movies, which I do, and he's actually really emotional in parts of it. He cries and all that kind of stuff.
The big thing with The Rock and the Bloody House is Moana.
Oh yes, that's another one. Now I've not seen them because my nieces are older now and they're not as much into the animated movies. But I actually did just tell Bob we need to watch Moana because Moana 2 is coming out and I want to know what all the fuss is about. So I guess if that makes me weird, whatever. So yes, The Rock is another one of. Can you call him an athlete?
Yes.
Okay.
Even
he's
scripted.
An athlete, but it was scripted pro wrestling. But all right, we'll give him that.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but
okay.
I have one for you. Lions related. It goes back a little bit, but along the lines of Bob Uecker, Alex Karras played the father in Webster. And was a Lion. And Blazing Saddles as well.
Okay, so I don't recall his like face in my mind, but I certainly know of those two.
Yeah, the dad in Webster.
Isn't Blazing Saddles like the slapstick type of comedy?
Yeah, it's Mel Brooks.
Gotcha. Okay, so definitely need to see Moana. I like Skyscraper too. That one was also terrific because he's in these kinds of movies where there's nonstop danger. And I think he's amazing. So The Rock would probably be my top answer. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, coming up, Chiefs, they still manage to win, but always stressful. And this is on the road at Carolina. What? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
We kick off with Sunday Night Football as Saquon Barkley put on a show.
Motion to the near side of the field. This time it goes to Barkley up the middle, across the 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 70 yards.
Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio. The Eagles beat the Rams 37-20. Saquon Barkley rushed for 255 yards and two touchdowns, one for 70 yards, the other for 72. Elsewhere, the Seahawks over the Cardinals 16-6. Packers topped the Niners 38-10. Josh Jacobs rushing for 106 yards and three touchdowns. It was the Buccaneers over the Giants 30-7. Cowboys 34, Commanders 26. Broncos 29, Raiders 19. Tua Tagovailoa with four touchdown passes. Dolphins over the Patriots 34-15. The Lions are 10-1 for the first time since 1934. They beat the Colts 24-6. It was the Titans over the Texans 32-27. In overtime, the Vikings over the Bears 30-27. And the Chiefs are 10-1. They survived the Panthers 30-27 on Spencer Schrader's 31-yard field goal with no time remaining. NBA, the Cavaliers now 17-1. They beat the Raptors 122-108. Elsewhere, Nets over the Kings, 108-103. Clippers, 125. Sixers, 99. In overtime, Heat over the Mavericks, 123-118. Pacers, 115. Wizards, 103. The Celtics over the T-Wolves, 107-105. College basketball, Georgia over St. John, 66-63. Kennesaw State beat Rutgers, 79-77. Wisconsin over Pittsburgh, 81-75. NHL, the Maple Leafs beat Utah 3-2. Major League Soccer playoffs, Eastern Conference semifinal, Orlando over Atlanta 1-0. In the Western Conference semifinal, it was the LA Galaxy over Minnesota 6-2. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Snap, give to Chuba, right side, Chuba plows into the end zone. Carolina, a two-point conversion from tying it up against the two-time defending Super Bowl champions.
Two-point try now from the one-yard line. Three tight ends into the game, including Christensen. Hubbard's the deep back. Young motions David Moore. The snap, it's Chuba plowing forward. Conversion good. We're tied at 27 with 1:46 to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, it wasn't supposed to go this way for the Chiefs, but this is what they do. How many times have I asked you this season, why don't the Chiefs blow anyone out? What do we take from that? What do we make of that? Why don't the Chiefs blow anyone out? Well, here we are again on the road at the Panthers, and Patrick Mahomes initially has a couple of touchdown passes to Noah Gray in the first half. They get points on all four drives before the break. They're up by double figures. They go 6-for-8 on third down. I mean, they're looking good. This is what they're supposed to be doing coming off a loss. And they're still up 11 after Mahomes throws his third touchdown pass. This one to DeAndre Hopkins. After Mahomes is scrambling, what else is new? So it's 27-16 after the third quarter. But inside of 2 minutes, after a few empty possessions by the Chiefs, Chuba Hubbard sparks a late scoring drive. He's got the rushing touchdown, and then there's the two-point conversion, which you hear there on Panthers Radio Network. By the way, that was after a Chiefs pass interference call. And so they end up tied at 27 with 1:46 remaining. But you know what I thought? This is like an old comfy pair of slippers for Patrick Mahomes. How many times have we seen him do this? 1 minute and 46 seconds isn't even that challenging. So he goes 3-for-4 on this drive. But the highlight that you'll see over and over again, typically it does happen when he scrambles and finds some room.
Mahomes, 1st and 10, steps up into the pocket, being chased. But now he's going to scramble to the near side. 50, cuts inside, 45, 40, 35. Mahomes up the sideline, out of bounds with one of the longest runs in his career. Down to the Carolina 22-yard line.
Patrick Mahomes runs for 33 yards.
We expected a man coverage. They got into a type of like match zone. So they covered up our routes, and I got out to the left. And at that point in the game, yards were more important than getting out of bounds. And so with the three timeouts, I tried to just cut through. And I think it was Justin Watson. I haven't seen the video, but I thought he got a great block. I think it was him. And I was able to get down the field and get out of bounds. Kind of fumbled out of bounds, but I got out of bounds. And so I got us in field goal range.
Ariza will hold. Winchester will snap. Will Carolina call timeout? Placement is down. Schrader's kick is up. Schrader's kick is good! 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 Spencer Schrader on a 31-yard field goal, and the Chiefs walk it off with a field goal, winning 30-27 to get their 10th victory of the 2024 campaign.
Spencer Schrader. Why don't you know that name? Well, because he's the new guy. In fact, that's what Andy Reid called him, the new guy, because you've got Harrison Butker on IR, which means they had to bring in someone new. So first kick for Schrader with those kinds of pressure points, because he'd never been in that situation before. Mitch Holtis with the call on Chiefs radio. I thought it was interesting what Patrick Mahomes said after the game. He pointed out that they really would like to have a couple of games that were blowouts and have a little more peace and calm in the fourth quarter. But this is what makes them battle tested. So no, they're not blowing teams out. In fact, this is the fifth time in 11 games that they've won in the final seconds. How often is Mahomes called on to make plays that turned out to be backbreakers for the opponents?
I think it's just certain times in games. It's not like I pre-plan like that stuff. It's just whenever it comes down to it and you got to make the play, I feel like I try to go out there and make the play. And that's why I feel like it happens kind of later in games sometimes than in the playoffs. It's, you don't want to slide. You know, you have to kind of put your body out there knowing that you can take hits and stuff like that. We've been able to make some big runs and some big moments.
Super Bowl champions they are, but it's not been easy to move to 10-1. So they do win coming off of their first loss. That's huge. They have the same record as the Chiefs, as the Lions, though not real important because they're in opposite conferences. So there's two byes, one for each of them if everything holds true, though other teams obviously looking to steal those byes. But 8 of the 10 wins have come by a single score for Kansas City. They are the toughest out in sports because no one's in this position more than they are. That's the part that's real interesting. And I actually thought that Bryce Young played really well in this game as part of the reason why they came back. He was zinging the ball. He was on target. And so even though they end up losing, Dave Canales and Bryce Young and certainly the entire trajectory of the Panthers franchise appears to be trending upward, right? I mean, this is what they needed to see. And I hope that David Tepper understands that patience is required. But after those couple of games in which Andy Dalton was starting, they went back to Bryce Young. I know Dalton got hurt, but it was Bryce's opportunity. He looks calmer. He looks more prepared. He looks more comfortable. And a lot of that goes to just the training and the teaching of Dave Canales and Bryce learning a new system. All right, Commanders and Cowboys next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.